Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Walk Through the Bible with Joe McGee, where we're taking time. We're going from Genesis to Revelation in chronological order. And it's because the Bible's not written in chronological order. It's written from the biggest book to the shortest book. From Genesis was covered 2,500 years all the way down to the book of Jude. You know, it's just, they didn't have a chapter. And so it's written from longest to shortest, but not chronological order. Now, you can buy Bibles at your local Bible bookstore written in chronological order, and I advise you to do that. It's really fun to read as it happened, because most people, they'll read the Bible and say, well, God's jumping around. Well, that's because the people that wrote the Bible did not write it in chronological order. But it's good to read it that way. So you can actually buy a Bible by any translation in chronological order. They do sell them at your local Bible bookstore. So be good to get at least one. Get you one for your birthday or Christmas, or just have somebody say, hey, what can I get you? Get me a chronological Bible. And you'll love it. Today, we're talking about Abihu and Nadab, priests. And because we're talking about the priesthood and the book of Leviticus, which is all about the law, what they could do, not do, if they did it wrong, how they could cover their sin, what they need to sacrifice. So it's just a great, great story, because everybody needs to go through it at least once. I tell people, you need to read the Old Testament at least once, so you have some understanding what God's referring to in the New Testament. I've said it before, the Old Testament covers several thousand years. The New Testament covers 70 years. The entire New Testament covers 70 years. The Old, just the book of Genesis alone covers 2,500 years. So they're a lot different. It's called a revelation for a reason. So we're starting in chapter 10 of Leviticus today, and it's a really great read. And it says, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, put coals of fire in their incense burners and sprinkle incense over them. In this way, they disobeyed the Lord by burning before him the wrong kind of fire, different from what he commanded. So fire blazed forth in the Lord's presence and burned them up, and they died before the Lord. Now, if I read that too fast, I'm going to read that again real slow. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, put coals of fire in their incense burners and sprinkle incense over them. In this way, they disobeyed the Lord by burning before him the wrong kind of fire. God's very detail. You can't just go flippantly before God. God's very detail. In this way, they disobeyed him by burning the wrong kind of fire, different from what he commanded. So fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence and burned them up, and they died before the Lord. What is that? Aaron's two sons? Well, they did something wrong. What happened? The fire consumed them. They died. That made the tabloids that day. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord meant when he said, I will display my holiness to those who come near me. I will display my glory for all the people. And Aaron was silent. I guess he was. Two sons just dropped dead. Aaron was silent. Then Moses called for Mishael and Eliasaphan, Aaron's cousins, the sons of Aaron's uncle, Uzzel, said to them, come forward, carry away the bodies of your relatives from in front of the sanctuary, and place them outside the camp. So they came forward and picked them up by the garments and carried them out of the camp, just as Moses had commanded. Then Moses said to Aaron and the sons of Eleazar and Ithamar, do not show grief by leaving your hair uncombed or by tearing your clothes. If you do, you will die, and the Lord's anger will strike the whole community of Israel. However, the rest of the Israelites, your relatives, may mourn because of the Lord's fiery destruction of Nadab and Abihu. But you must not leave the entrance of the tabernacle, or you will die. For you have been anointed with the Lord's anointing oil, so they did as Moses commanded. So, it's just a sobering story. Moses and Aaron, the priests, sons did things wrong. They knew what to do, but they didn't do it. They knew better. They didn't do it. What an accident. They knew they were doing wrong. They did it. And it cost them their life. And they dropped dead. Then God said, Moses, carry their bodies out. And then what he said was, when you do that, do not show grief by leaving your hair uncombed. Now, what they would did, they throw ashes on their head and wear some nasty thing when somebody died. He said, don't show grief for them. They sin. They're my priests. They sin. Do not show grief for them. Don't you cry a single tear for them. Don't show grief by leaving your hair uncombed or by tearing your clothes. If you do, you will die. You show grief for them that sin, you will die. Whoa. And the Lord's anger will strike the whole community of Israel. However, the rest of the Israelites, your relatives, may mourn because of the Lord's fiery destruction of Nadab and Abihu, but you must not leave the entrance of the tabernacle or you will die. For you've been anointed with the Lord's anointing oil. So they did as Moses commanded. Well, that's sober. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you and your descendants must never drink wine or any other alcoholic drink before going into the tabernacle. If you do, you will die. Well, you know, I've had so many personal conversations, comments with ministers across the country about some of this Old Testament covenant. I said, listen, people used to ask, said, you drink? Said, no, I never drank even when I was a sinner. I didn't drink because grew up in an alcoholic family, had uncles and, you know, relatives that would drink, get drunk, throw up, and puke at family reunions and just make a mess. Like, I didn't like the smell. I didn't like the flavor and the smell. It had no appeal to me whatsoever. So even when I was in the army, you get time off, you know, if you got them, light them up. If you don't light them, borrow one. Talking about smoking. Well, I never smoked because my parents smoked my whole life. I smoked no secondhand smoke to kind of suffice. And I didn't drink. It wasn't because I was holy. I just grew up not liking it. And so he's telling the preachers, listen, no, you don't touch any drink. You serve me? No, you're going to do that. And so you and your descendants must never drink wine or any other alcoholic drink before going into the tabernacle. If you do, you will die. This is a permanent law for you. It must be observed from generation to generation. You must distinguish between what is sacred and what is common, between what is ceremonial and clean and what is clean. You must teach the Israelites and all these decrees that the Lord has given through Moses. Then Moses said to Aaron and his remaining sons, Eleazar and Dithmar, take what is left of the grain offering after a portion has been presented as a special gift before the Lord and eat it beside the altar. Make sure it contains no yeast, for it is most holy. You must eat it in a sacred place where it has been given you and your descendants as your portion of the special gifts presented to the Lord. These are the commands I have given you, but the breast and the thigh that were lifted up as a special offering must be eaten in a place that is ceremonial clean. These parts will be given you and your descendants as your portion of the peace offerings presented by the people of Israel. You must lift up the thigh and the breast as a special offering to the Lord, along with the fat and the special gifts. These parts will belong to you and your descendants as your permanent right, just as the Lord has commanded. So he's telling, listen, there's certain parts you lift up, but you get to partake of because that's sort of your paycheck. You know, you don't work, you're a priest, but you get to eat the meat that's brought to present before God. Moses then asked them what happened to the goat of the sin offering. When he discovered it had been burned up, he became very angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's remaining sons. Why didn't you eat the sin offering in the sacrificed area? He demanded. It is a holy offering. The Lord has given it to you to remove the guilt of the community and to purify the people, making them right with the Lord. Since your animal's blood was not brought to the holy place, you should have eaten the meat in the sacrificed area that I ordered you. Then Aaron answered Moses, today, my sons presented their sin offering, their bone offering to the Lord, and yet this tragedy has happened to me. If I had eaten the people's sin offering on this such tragic day, would the Lord have been pleased? And then when Moses heard this, he was satisfied. Now, we're going to kind of pick up a little bit more here. I'll read this. This is starting chapter 11, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. They've seen a lot happen here. Two of the priests have dropped dead. They did something they shouldn't have done because the law goes to everybody. But then when they did finally make the sacrifice, God said, you don't let them cry. You don't mourn. You can't do that. You can do it as a family, but not as a priest. And so then he accepted their offering and they rejoiced. So there's a lot of stuff going on here. So this chapter 11, verse 1, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. Of all the land animals, these are the ones you may use for food. You may eat any animal that has completely split hooves and choose the cud. You may not, however, eat the following animals that have split hooves that have split hooves or that chew the cud, but not both. A camel chews the cud, but does not have split hooves. So it is ceremonially unclean for you. The ox chews the cud, but does not have split hooves. It is unclean. The hare chews the cud, but does not have split hooves. It is unclean. The pig has eaten split hooves, but does not chew the cud. It is unclean. You may not eat the meat of these animals or even touch the carcasses because they are ceremonially unclean for you. Now, I grew up in the country. We ate everything. We ate the pigs. We ate the cows. We ate chickens. If we grew it, bit lid, we cooked it. And so people, we read old country church and we've got to these scriptures and people think, well, is that right? Well, in the New Testament, Peter, he's a ceremonial Jew. He's been born again, spirit filled, but he's still kind of living under the law. And there's a whole lot of conversation between him and the Apostle Paul. And that's a whole different teaching. And so Peter's there one day and he sees a sheet coming down from heaven. And in the sheet, this big sheet, is every kind of animal, clean and unclean. Right here, clean and unclean, every kind of animal. And so God says to Peter, kill and eat, Peter, kill and eat. He thinks, no, I can't, Lord. And God says again, kill and eat. There's nothing God made that is unclean. And so under the new covenant, things changed. On the old covenant, you know, you had to bow so many times and wear the boxes on your head with the scrolls in it. And there were so many things. That all changed when Jesus went to the cross. When Jesus came out of the grave 3 days later, things changed. It's a new covenant. We're under a new command. Matter of fact, Matthew says, you know, when Jesus died, the old law was done away with. It was not bad, but it was done away with. There's now a new law. We can come boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy and help in time of need. We don't have to go through any ceremonies. We don't have to go 5 days, seven steps, spit in the wind, turn around backwards. There's no more law. It's all the blood of Jesus. He paid for our ability to go to the throne of God, present a request to God. It all changed. I taught intercessory prayer for 10 years when I was on staff, the first church I worked at. And I learned a lot. I didn't know how to spell intercessory prayer. But I'm the new guy on staff. And it was part of my job. And it was on Monday evening. The rest of the staff had off on Monday. I did not. I had off on Thursday because I'm the new guy on staff. And so since I'm working on Monday, I'm in charge of intercessory prayer, which was every Monday night. And so every Monday night, I go to intercessory prayer. And it's an hour and a half. So I teach for about 10, 15 minutes. We'd sing a couple of songs. And then we'd have prayer cards. And we'd go off to ourselves all the way in the room. And we'd pray over the prayer cards that people had submitted all that week. You know, I've got a uncle's been diagnosed with a disease. I kid was in a car wreck. Or I had this happen. My husband's threatened with divorce. And so we're praying for them. And the Bible says that the new covenant, we come boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy and help in time of need. And so everything changed in the new covenant. We can run boldly to the throne. Why? Because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Our advocate, our attorney, our lawyer in heaven is the Son of God who came to earth as a human. God came to earth as a human, born of a virgin birth, grew up here, finding out who he was. 30 years, he took over daddy's business, running the carpenter shop, and he owned the local Home Depot. And also one day he's missing. And there's the stories in the Bible, how the boys came running into Mary, you know, because everybody worked for Jesus. He was the oldest son, so they all worked for him. And they heard all the rumors. Not everybody believed that he was, you know, mama sleeping around evidently, because our daddy's not your daddy. And so they didn't have a revelation of the virgin birth till after Jesus came out of the grave. None of Jesus' family believed he was the son of God until after he came out of the grave. Then they believed. So there were a lot of things Jesus went through. And so today, because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, we can run boldly to the throne of grace. I don't need to do anything. I don't need to spit in the wind, turn backwards, shave. I remember one preacher one time was really big on, when you go to God, you need to clean yourself up, take a shower and shave, brush your teeth, put on underarm. And I understand that, honoring the presence of God. But you don't need to do any of that. You don't need to do any of that. You can just run boldly to the throne of grace. That's why it's called grace. What do you need? Mercy. What's mercy? I need forgiveness for sin I committed on purpose. Be like you're running to heaven all out of breath. God said, what are you doing here? I don't know. I think I sinned. Did you do it on purpose? Yeah, I think so. How's it working out for you? Not too good. I can go get mercy. Mercy's what blind Bartimaeus was on the side of the road. He's been born blind. So Jesus, in his ministry, 3.5 years of ministry, come down the side of the road. Tons of people around him. People brought their sick relatives, their demon-possessed relatives, trying to get close to him so he can touch them or lay his hands on them or speak to them. And so the blind man's been blind from birth. He said, what's all that noise? So, well, that healing rabbi's coming down the road. And so blind Bartimaeus starts yelling. He's yelling, mercy, son of David, have mercy on me. What's he heard? He's heard this guy's the son of God. What's he asked for? Mercy. What's he know? Well, Ebony's been blind from birth, but he knows enough law to realize that God is a merciful God, that he will give mercy to those who need it. You not earned it, you not deserved it, but God will freely give mercy, undeserved forgiveness. I don't deserve it. I sinned on purpose. I knew what I was doing when I did it, but you will give me mercy, God. We can run boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy and help in time of need. There's no excuse. I've shared this so many times. When I was in church, you knew everybody. It was a small community, and when everybody was there, when they weren't there. So all of a sudden, maybe one Sunday, and my buddy Billy Bob's not there. So, well, maybe they're on vacation, summertime. And second Sunday, well, Billy Bob's not there again. Man, they took a long vacation. Because we live in the country. We didn't live next to each other. We're kind of scattered out. And so we really didn't know one another, especially in the summertime when we're not in school. So the third Sunday, where's Billy Bob? Man, they take a long vacation. Well, it's not a long vacation. Billy Bob family has sinned. And we saw it. We would see it. They've sinned. And they're going to stay out of church so they can clean themselves up. And I realized once I got in theology school and Bible school, you can't clean you up. Only God can clean you up. And so you get to run boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy and help in time of need. We need. I need help, Lord. I need mercy. I need forgiveness. I need grace. God is a gracious God. He is a merciful God. And there's never a time you can't run right up under his armpit and get help. And that's what you get on a lot of this stuff. You realize something. No. You can go get help. We're not under the law anymore. The law's been done away with. The law was good. It pointed us to Jesus, but we're not under the law anymore. We're not under the law anymore. In Matthew, it says, two things. They're asking Jesus about the law. They're questioning about the law. He said, well, basically the law is made up of two commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. And the second law is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then Jesus is going to say the entire law, the entire Old Testament law is fulfilled in these two commands. Jesus said the entire Old Testament is fulfilled in these two commands. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. These two commands enveloped the entire law. You love God, love your neighbor. You have fulfilled the law. Well, that sure simplified a lot of stuff because I'm trying to remember, do I spit in the wind? Do I stand to the north? Do I sit in the south? I mean, what Do I need a goat? Do I need a ram? Do I need a bull? What do I need? You don't need anything. You got the blood of Jesus. You can come boldly to the throne of grace. Get mercy in time of need. And then you need to love your neighbors. You love yourself. Well, you know, I used to teach a marriage seminar about this, about love your neighbors, you love yourself. Why is that important? Well, if you don't love yourself, your neighbor's in trouble. You know, you need to love you just like you. Yeah, I love me, warts and all. I love me. I love me because God loves me. The creator of the universe, God Almighty, that holds everything together by the power of his word, loves me just like I am. I don't have to earn a thing. I can run boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy in time of need. Because when you read this old covenant, after reading the new covenant, you realize, oh, that's what they were trying to do. Oh, that's what they meant. So God's a good God and a forgiving God. So today, take some good thought. We've got it made. We really, really have it made. So let's come boldly to the throne of grace and get mercy and help every time we need it. You don't earn it. You just come get you some. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.